Springfield's Talk 104.1. Welcome, I am Nick Reed. It's going to be some really nice weather the next couple of days. In fact, we might get close to 60 tomorrow. Coming up this hour, Capitol Police are under investigation, a number of them because of the handling of the incident that took place last week. And not simply, you know, there's a lot of these, well, how could this have happened? Well, what we know is that many of the people that have been labeled as storming the Capitol didn't storm it. They were ushered in. They were told right this way. You know, kind of like when you're getting on a ride at Silver Dollar City or something, and like right this way. That's what it, they're like, come on here, just stay. And they were filing in just kind of like tourists. They were so non-threatening that you had, in one instance, a Capitol Police officer taking selfies with them. Now, of course, this is creating a bit of a contradiction for Democrats, because Democrats, they want you to think that there were like 100,000 people that stormed the Capitol, and there were so many of them that law enforcement, on all accounts, did everything they could to stop it, and this was just a massive insurrection, and that's not what happened at all. That's just not the reality. So they are, they're forced with this situation in which what people do know is that there were a lot of individuals in the Capitol, and they're of course wondering how and why, but a full investigation is going to show something, if it's publicly revealed and reported on, that is contrary to the Democrats' narrative that this was some sort of raid that took place where it was just, you know, thousands of Trump supporters all storming the castle, because that's not what happened. Incidentally, anybody remember Wisconsin a few years ago when Scott Walker was governor? When you really did have hundreds of Democrats storm the Capitol because they didn't like what was going on there? Anybody remember that? In fact, one, it was sort of cringeworthy incident. They sang some song from Les Mis that was supposed to represent that. I don't even remember. It was somewhat embarrassing. You could tell they were really in the moment. But, I mean, the photos of the hundreds. And there was plenty of vandalism that was done then. I don't remember Democrats calling for any sort of prosecution for insurrection at that time. Now, what's the difference? Well, because those who stormed the castle were their party, of course. And the Republicans were in charge. And so that's perfectly okay, because they were simply exercising their First Amendment rights. See, you almost forget these incidents occur because the media deletes, erases, and rewrites history. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I am Nick Reed. Here's the latest news update. You know what my answer would be to them? No. No. When every Democrat gives back their donations, whoever objected to an electoral vote count, then we'll consider it. That's what I would do. KTTS First Alert forecast today, sunny, high of 50. Clear 30 tonight. Sunny tomorrow, 59 for a high. Thursday, partly sunny with a high of 49. You've probably heard, well, I've mentioned it numerous times, but then also these commercials that are talking about the $50,000 in advertising that we are giving away. And incidentally, the voice that you hear doing those ads is our general manager. And this is something that we did in the early months of COVID. What we saw locally in our community and other communities as well, that sort of people helping people, you know, with businesses suffering in some capacities, but some businesses, there were areas in which maybe they were doing okay. And so they would help out others where they could, you know, oh, we're doing okay here. We're doing maybe even better than usual here. So that allows us to help out some other local businesses who maybe are suffering. And one of the areas that we were able to do that is offer up some of our inventory that otherwise gets sold to businesses. And it seemed to go pretty well. and we're doing it again. Now, last time we did it, there were three winners, and the top winner got more, and then second got a little less, and then third got a little, you know, first, second, third prize. But this time around, we have $50,000, and five local businesses are going to get $10,000 in marketing dollars from us. And this isn't, it's not like a coupon that, well, you get one for every one you spend. You know, that's not what this is. This is just one of the areas where we are able to help out. And like every, well, like many, perhaps even most businesses, you know, there are certain areas where we have really been hit hard. There are certain areas that we've really suffered and that it's been difficult. Just, you know, things that are beyond our control, like so many of you. But this is one area that we can help out. And so that's why we're doing it. You go to KSGF.com if you are a local business, and you can register there. You don't have to submit any sort of story about your hardships or anything like that. It's going to be essentially a random drawing, but five will get $10,000 in advertising dollars, marketing dollars from us. That's at KSGF.com. Monday, Parler filed a lawsuit against Amazon, accusing the company of breaching its contract and violating a century-old antitrust law by promoting Twitter as its at its competitor's expense. Amazon had removed Parler, of course, from its servers yesterday, early morning, claiming the conservative social media platform refused to remove posts advocating violence at the Capitol riots last Wednesday. Now, of course, I don't know if this will play into their lawsuit. They have been perfectly fine helping promote social media sites that not just promoted but helped coordinate riots over 2020 that cost billions of dollars worth of damage. So the uneven application of their rules is something that should also be problematic here. But, you know, I want you to note something. It's very telling. Even those on the left, what do they describe an outfit like Parler as? A conservative social media outlet or a pro-Trump social media platform? Oh, okay, fine. Say that if you want. Characterize it if you want that way. But what does that tell you about each side? What sets Parler apart is not Parler itself, as a platform, does not do anything that's pro-Trump. What it simply does is not restrict free speech, while the other platforms do. What does that tell you about each side in this country? The Trump side versus the establishment side, the Trump side versus the Democrat side. When the Democrat-run platforms are all about suppressing free speech, and the one platform that is in question right now, I know there are other platforms that accept and promote free speech, but in this context, Parler is the one that allows free speech. And they openly acknowledge that that is the one that's more conservative. It is a concession that they're making that Democrats are not supporters of free speech and that conservatives are. That people who support Trump are the ones who promote and foster free speech, while people who support Biden are not. They are fully acknowledging that every time they list or label a social media platform like Parler as being, quote, conservative or pro-Trump. Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed. I wanted to share a piece with you in Town Hall by Congressman Andy Biggs. Now, I don't know anything about this congressman. And it's titled, We Are Not Panicking. And I'm offering this up because it's a perspective. I don't know whether or not he is on point with his perspective on this. Some of it I definitely agree with. Ultimately, he's sort of his ultimate presentation is, hey, we've been through rough times before. As conservatives, Republicans, we'll get through this. I think now is a different time than we've ever had. We're dealing with one of the two major political parties in this country that has completely detached itself from any even appearance that they care about individual liberties. And so they feel completely free to not play within the rules and not respect people's personal liberties. And so that puts us in a different place. But that being said, I wanted to read this to you. As the aftermath of last week's events are debated and analyzed across the fruited plains, I'm reminded of a scene in It's a Wonderful Life. In the movie, George Bailey can't leave on his honeymoon because there is a run-in on his Bailey building and loan. The customers are gathered in the lobby of the building and loan, demanding their deposits. George tells them that his nemesis, Mr. Potter, will buy everyone's shares for 10 cents on the dollar. George tells his customers, quote, Potter isn't selling, Potter's buying. And why? Because we're panicking and he's not. That's why. The leftist in Congress, in the media, together with establishment-style Republicans, sense blood in the water and are attacking Republicans, particularly conservatives and Trump supporters, because they believe we are panicking. They're trying to arrogate power. And why? Because we appear to be confused a bit, discouraged, demoralized a bit, outraged and angered too, but we are not panicking. The president who ushered in a new era of Republicanism and conservatism has been defeated, and his followers are convinced that he lost because the election was not fair. While tens of thousands showed up for a rally to peacefully protest on January 6th, a few went crazy and marched to the Capitol, and some of them breached the Capitol. No doubt they will justifiably be identified, apprehended, and prosecuted. In contrast, Democrats in Congress, including Vice President-elect Kamala Harris, encouraged a summer of violence and supported social media funding for the bail of any rioters arrested over the summer. They were silent except when justifying the violence and looting. The outrageous and unjustified breach of the Capitol on January 6th has been condemned by conservative leaders, including me. The thoughtless act undermined the cause and disrupted the legislative process that was occurring and that they had been demanding. How long did it take for Democrats to politicize the violation? While it was happening, Democrats in the House chamber were yelling, it was all Trump's fault, even before we were aware of the extent of the breach. And now the left and never Trumpers want to invoke the 25th Amendment to try and persuade Vice President Pence to organize the cabinet to remove the president. When that fails, as it will, they propose to introduce another resolution of impeachment and speed it through the U.S. House of Representatives. The goal is to be able to say that President Trump was impeached twice in 2 years by a Democrat majority who hate Trump more than anything they love. Additionally, a few Republicans have joined the leftists to assert that because some representatives, as well as some senators, objected to the counting of electors from some states, we instigated the Capitol breach. Let's get this straight. First, the procedure we engaged in was sanctioned in Title III of the United States Code. Now, some believe the provision of the statute are unconstitutional. Well, if that were true, they have had over 130 years to change or repeal the statute, but have not done so. Second, the procedure is not without precedent. After the first 5 presidential elections of this country, Democrats used these same process to file objections, the ones in which Republicans won the presidency. Even current Speaker Pelosi objected at the time. That the left and some Republicans were upset about us filing objections this year may have been because, unlike when Democrats have used the process, there was substance to our objections. Our critics knew that the American people would see the merits of our arguments for the first time because until the floor debate in Congress, the media had suppressed the materiality of the claims. I know of no Republican in Congress who urged people to overrun the Capitol Police to unlawfully enter the Capitol. It was my impression, as I believe it was of everyone in Congress, that the assembly was a rally to express disappointment with the election and the failure of so many to allow a full independent examination of voting machines. We believed it would be a peaceful rally. There is absolutely no basis to claim that any member instigated the incident on January 6th. Thus, we rightfully objected to the counting of the electors in certain states and made our case during the debate. Most of our congressional colleagues voted against our objections, but many in the public understand and agree with our arguments. Some Republicans are trying to eat their own and raise their own profile by blaming members of Congress for objecting to electors. They are also jumping off the Trump train, for which they have only been on for convenience or due to necessity. In the cacophony blasting now, they join the left who, just as Potter was doing in the movie, buy up everything they possibly can. Today, however, their goal is to emasculate the movement that propelled Trump to the presidency. But it won't work. We are not panicking. We are not discouraged. But we have resolve, grit, and determination, and we will reassert American freedom. We will defeat those who seek to restore the uniparty status quo of pre-Trump Washington, D.C. Now, I think that this is an optimistic view of things. While I do agree that the portion of the population that felt resonance with Trump, those people will not stop to exist, and their reasons for supporting Trump will not go away. The question is whether or not they will have any sort of meaningful participation in a fair process from this day forward. In the past, the pendulum has swung back and forth, left to right, and there's a historical history. I guess that's repetitive. There's a history of when you have a party control everything after a couple of years, the other party will generally take the House of Representatives. But we are dealing with a different situation now. We are dealing with an environment that many Republicans have helped foster, that if you are a Republican and you see potential voter fraud, if you don't keep your mouth shut, you will be punished. If you are an elected official, Democrat Cori Bush is pushing legislation to purge you from Congress if you dare ask questions regarding election fraud. Democrats have had a monopoly on election fraud for some time, and they've been very good and, frankly, very successful at it. But they are taking the extra step now to create an atmosphere where no one is allowed to ever even point it out, much like the mafia, where everyone sees it and everyone knows the crimes are committed, but everyone also knows that pointing it out or trying to do what's right will result in punishment. And so what does that mean for a future? It doesn't mean that people who love America are going to stop loving America, but I do question whether or not they're going to have the ability to have any sort of say in the democratic process moving forward. Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed. Coming up, I want to share with you, and I've actually talked about this individual in the past, and it was, it didn't make massive headlines, but she's a Democrat activist, and she laid out the argument that blacks are the superior race. She's toward, you know, it's sort of the Hitler stance, but instead of white Aryans are superior, she's taking his position that blacks are the superior race and explains why that is. Now, as is often the case, what should happen with these people is they are ignored or ridiculed, and you would certainly think that there would be an attempt to distance oneself from someone like this if you were in public office. However, Joe Biden has nominated her to lead the Department of Justice Civil Rights Division. That in, well, coming up here in just a few moments. First, traffic on Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. And as always, we are streaming on the app. Got the KSGF app in your marketplace. You can all, I know yesterday, anyhow, some people were concerned with Amazon, of course, removing Parler, and some seem to be having difficulty with their certain devices. And I think Alexa was mentioned specifically. I tested mine, and KSGF ran fine on it. That was as of yesterday morning. So that's something you can do with your smart device, and it's real easy. When you go to KSGF.com, and there's setup instructions there. It's real simple stuff to where all I have to do now is, you know, say, Alexa, play KSGF, and it automatically starts streaming the station. And, of course, with the new app, you can do that as well, plus listen to past shows. There's some other functions on there that may be of interest to you as well. Right now, the latest news update on Springfield's Talk 104.1. KTTS First Alert Forecast, sponsored by St. Clair of the Ozarks Home Improvements. 20% discounts going on now, so if you've ever even thought about improving the value, the look of your home, and the efficiency as well with new windows, perhaps siding, or gutter guarding, with gutters, of course, now is a very, very, very good time to contact St. Clair of the Ozarks Home Improvement. Sunny 50 for a high today, clear 30 tonight. Sunny with a high of 59 tomorrow, and partly sunny on Thursday with a high of 49. It's 28. Ryan from A1 Custom Car Care joins weekly little hack, if you will, or a tip of sorts to help make sure that we have the information necessary in order to be more safe, to extend the value and longevity of our vehicle, just to overall have a better quality of life. How do you do, sir?
I do fantastic. How do you do?
I am doing just fine. So what words of wisdom do you have for us this day?
An ounce of prevention is what your vehicle needs. But that's my word of wisdom. I think the biggest thing that we're seeing right now in the shops, and I don't know if Dustin's wanting to talk about this maybe on his show, but I know it's one of the things we've been talking about at the stores, is that I'm seeing a lot of vehicles come in where, with the turmoil of last year and the turmoil of this year, things are kind of falling by the wayside if it doesn't seem like it's a big problem. And a lot of times that gets us drivers into trouble. I mean, I've done it, you know, where you think, hey, that's right, not that bad. And then later on down the road, you find out if you would have handled it when that squeak was just a squeak, then you wouldn't be spending buku money on whatever other things got taken out by that part as it slowly failed over time.
Well, I know ball joints are one that are significant, and there are a lot of others. And I think what happens when people hear squeaks, they think sort of like people, like, oh, well, it's just old. That's just naturally. That's the sort of thing that happens. They don't recognize that it's a sign of potentially worse things to come if it's not remedied.
Yeah. And a responsible repair shop is happy to look at those noises and look you square in the eye and say, hey, that isn't something to worry about. And I would much rather be able to tell somebody that than to have to tell them, hey, I know you've been hearing that for a couple of months, and guess what? Now it's like three things instead of one.
You know, one of the things that I really love about how you all operate, and I know I hear this consistently also from others who bring their vehicles into you, is before I, years ago, began taking my vehicle to A1 Custom Car Care, it wasn't uncommon. You'd take it in somewhere to have something done, and they would just tell you, well, this is a problem, this is a problem, this is a problem. But you never really knew what did that mean. Is that the sort of problem that if I don't have it fixed, I'm going to be in real trouble? And you all have this sort of report, if you will, that you give people, and you've got the different categories of this needs immediate attention, this doesn't need immediate attention, but if you don't fix it in a certain amount of time, it could lead to larger problems. And here's some other problems that you really don't have to worry about that much right now. And I really appreciate that transparency and honesty, because it helps people feel comfortable in making decisions as to what needs to be fixed at that time versus those things that can be put off.
Yeah. People forget this is a service industry. We're here to serve. And that's part of service, man, is being able to make it predictable and make it ownable, you know, make it something that you can handle. So that little bit of prevention, though, that's on the other side of the counter.
Ryan at A1 Custom Car Care, and of course, as he mentioned, Dustin hosting the show every Saturday morning right here. They have three locations, Fort and Sunshine, Springfield, Highway 60 Republic, and West Sunset, across from Classic Rock Coffee. Ryan, thank you, sir. Appreciate it. It's always good to hear from you.
Very welcome. Take care.
All right, you do the same. I was mentioning earlier, of course, the storming of the Capitol during the Kavanaugh hearings, which evidently was perfectly okay. And the storming of the Capitol in Wisconsin when Democrat activists were upset at, I don't even remember, I think it was right to work stuff that the Republicans were working on. And versus the handful of individuals that illegally breached the Capitol, there were around 10,000 Democrat activists that violated the law through trespassing, either making their way, breaching the Capitol, or trespassing on the lawn. 10,000. Not 10, not 100, not 1,000, 10,000. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel is doing, they're explaining the difference. See, it's different. It's always different when Democrats do it, right? There's always a reason it's okay for Democrats to do it. And so they have this justification piece in the Journal Sentinel about why it's okay that Democrats did it in Wisconsin and how that's different than what Trump supporters, of course, did. And one of the arguments is that, well, it was overwhelmingly peaceful, that it was just a few people that were violent in Wisconsin. Well, it's the same application in Washington. I mean, there was a very, very, it was overwhelmingly, you want to talk about actually being able to call something mostly peaceful legitimately? That's what Washington was. That's what that Capitol situation was. Vastly. In fact, I've pointed out before evidence of the fact that it was so overwhelmingly peaceful that most of the people that came into the Capitol, they were allowed in by law enforcement. Because there was no sense of any threat at all. One of the other areas that the Journal Sentinel is justifying Democrat storming of the Wisconsin Capitol years ago versus what happened in the U.S. Capitol last week was that, well, any damage that Democrats did in the Wisconsin Capitol, it was unintentional. It was accidental. They didn't mean to. It was incidental stuff. You can't blame them for that, as opposed, of course, to what happened in the U.S. Capitol, where it was malicious. But what I found hilarious is as they listed some of the damage specifically as some of the most egregious examples was that of a statue of Zachary Taylor, and how it had what appeared to be blood on it. And what a great travesty this was. That they would dare vandalize a statue of Zachary Taylor. Now, Zachary Taylor was a slave owner. I'm sorry, I thought that's what we were supposed to do in this country. So all of a sudden, the left is wringing their hands over a statue of a former slave owner being defamed? We spent most of 2020 watching Democrats pour fake blood on statues, including some, who actually freed slaves. These people are so embarrassingly one-dimensional and infantile in their attempt to justify why it's okay for Democrats to commit acts of vandalism and violence, that their explanations are more embarrassing than not giving an explanation at all. I tell you, it probably never even crossed their mind that they spend Lord knows how much ink justifying the destruction of statues that have any sort of connection to slavery, but now are wringing their hands over a former slave owner statue having fake blood put on it in the Capitol, because they can blame that on Trump supporters, of course, whether it was or not. Absolutely embarrassing. Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed. Now, Joe Biden has laughably, talking about two sides of his mouth. On one hand, he's talking about unity, and on the other hand, accusing police officers of, even though they shot an unarmed, by all appearances, woman was shot in the Capitol, we're still told that they were really easy on those individuals. And so Biden is taking the opportunity to further create this idea that police in this country are inherently racist and that black people should fear them. This is his attempt at unity. He's also, of course, referred to just the millions upon millions upon millions of Trump supporters as domestic terrorists. This is his form of unity. And now he is nominated to lead the Department of Justice Civil Rights Division, a woman who believes that people who are black are a superior race. This is Hitler stuff. I'm not one of these people that likes throwing around the Hitler thing. But if you hold belief systems that are the same, whether it's socialism, as the German Workers' Socialist Party, a.k.a. the Nazis, hey, that's your decision to do that. And I think it deserves to be pointed out. We should learn from our history. If you pick someone to head up a civil rights division of the Department of Justice who believes that naturally and inherently one race of people is superior to the others, then I think that it's fair to point out other instances in history where people have taken that position. And I think it's also fair to point out that as a world, collectively, we have said things like never again and we'll never forget. And if we don't study and understand history, we're doomed to repeat it. Now, it's not news that this woman said this. And I saw a report that Tucker Carlson broke this last night, and he breaks a lot of stuff. But this gal, Kristen Clark, what's the best way to put this? The fact that she believes this is not new information. And I know this because I talked about it on the show whenever she wrote about it. Now, it's news that Biden thinks that is a great way to unify people by putting a race supremacist head of the Civil Rights Division in the Department of Justice. Here's some of what she has declared. She wrote, please use these following theories and observations to assist you in your search for truth regarding the genetic differences between blacks and whites. Number one, she writes, Dr. Richard King reveals that at the core of the human brain is the locus coeruleus, which is a structure that is black because it contains large amounts of neuromelanin, which is essential for its operation. Two, black infants sit, stand, crawl, and walk sooner than whites. Three, Carol Barnes notes that human mental processes are controlled by melanin, that same chemical which gives blacks their superior physical and mental abilities. Four, some scientists have revealed that most whites are unable to produce melanin because their pineal glands are often calcified or non-functioning. Pineal calcification rates with Africans are 5 to 15%, Asians 15 to 25%, Europeans 60 to 80%. This is the chemical basis for the cultural difference between blacks and whites. Five, melanin endows blacks with greater mental, physical, and spiritual abilities, something which cannot be measured based on Eurocentric standards. Now, I think we can all imagine what the media would do if Trump had nominated to the Department of Justice Civil Rights Division someone who made these claims but instead said Aryans or white people. That white people, it was proven that white people crawl faster than blacks, that they sit up faster than blacks, that they walk sooner than blacks, that they have greater mental, physical, and spiritual abilities than blacks. I mean, you can't even fathom it. But for whatever reason, having a race supremacist in the Biden administration is perfectly okay. And we're not talking about some position that doesn't have anything to do with race, but you're going to put someone, the head of a civil rights division, who believes in race superiority? Boy, Just at every turn when you think it just can't get any better. Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed. Emily Johnson Rhodes Real Estate. How about this? This process could not have been easier. Now, has that been your experience when trying to sell a home, particularly sell one and buy one at the same time? Did you think, man, that was the easiest thing under the sun? There's a very good chance, no, you did not. This process could not have been easier. Emily took care of everything from scheduling the rain hats on the chimney to the leaves in the yard. Emily handled every detail. Thank you for making this the easiest sell ever. Another saying, Emily's the best in the business. Very knowledgeable, straightforward, very responsive to her clients' needs. You know, I've seen, like, maybe you have houses for sale. And, I mean, just that sort of thing, like the leaves in your yard. That's what she knows how to present your home. She knows two things. One, what value you can get out of your home, but in addition to that, what you need to do in order to sell it as quickly as possible, because it's not just about getting the most that you can from it, but it's about doing it quickly. She knows how to do those things, which is one of the reasons that she is so highly recommended by so many people, and that so consistently you get that sort of response by people who use Emily Johnson of Rhodes Real Estate. 890-1455 is her number. You can also find and like her on Facebook. That's Emily Johnson Rhodes Real Estate. Rand Paul's wife blasting Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey for allowing threats against her husband. And this is just, you can't imagine the frustration. You and I get frustrated when we see the hypocrisy. But I can't imagine you're married to someone and there's a platform like Twitter that allows people to openly encourage violence against people like Rand Paul, but then they block Parler because they accuse people of using it in order to encourage violence. One instance, at the end of December, a man who was named National Teacher of the Year by the Council of Chief State School Officers tweeted, "Who are Mitch McConnell's neighbors? I'm just saying Rand Paul's neighbors did what a true Kentucky hero should do. It's up to you to, it's your turn to step up." Now, of course, Rand Paul was beaten until he was hospitalized with, to the point he had to have part of his lung removed. And Twitter has no problem allowing a teacher of the year encouraging people to do the same thing to Mitch McConnell. And that's just one of many examples. Finally, two Capitol Police suspended for their alleged actions during the riots that broke out on Capitol Hill. Ryan, who's the Ohio Democrat chair of the House Appropriations Committee, is investigating police response. Another House aide claiming as many as 17 other officers are under investigation, part of an 8 investigations into how the violence and vandalism were able to take place at the Capitol. This includes everything from one of them putting on a MAGA hat, one of them taking a selfie with some of the individuals, and of course, as I've pointed out, the ushering in of the vast majority of these people into the Capitol. It's kind of the opposite of storming. Glenn Beck's coming up next. I'll talk to you tomorrow. I'm Nick Reed, Springfield's Talk 104.1.